Praise Jesus Christ of Nazareth, brothers and sisters. Today the power of Christ daily, the 21st of January 2016. Why Jesus Christ allows trials, part 3. Why Jesus Christ allows trials, part 3. Brothers and sisters, let's remind ourselves. Today started from last night. We should have examined ourselves, settled things with the Lord Jesus Christ, cast out every anger and unforgiveness or whatever in the name of Jesus Christ, and command our heart and mind in the name of Jesus Christ to love everybody, to love the people, and to also to make it a commitment to settle with them today, because it may be too late. That is one of the things. You have to love people. Oh, pastor said, settle everything. So middle of the night, you are going to sleep at 12 something, calling people, say, I'm sorry. Offending them further. There are people like this. Such confusion arises because no sound mind. No sound mind. Then they say, pastor, you only told me to ask forgiveness. So I called. Hey, there is reasonableness. You first say, Lord Jesus, I want to forgive them. Make me forgive all. And two, make me ask for forgiveness from others whom I have offended today. Lord, with sound mind, love one another as you have loved me. Love your neighbor as yourself. Would you want to be woken up in deep sleep because somebody says, I'm asking you forgiveness? Or would you rather that let be slept and then next day they ask you? This is one of the reasons I've actually been shocked over the years, you know. Such ridiculous confusion goes on. Why? Every evil thing is there. Self-seeking is there. Brothers and sisters, now, why Jesus Christ allows trials, part 3. We will recap a little bit of yesterday. Yesterday, we left off with the issue, of course, one of the reasons is, many times the reason is because we cost it to ourselves. What we sow, we reap. Sometimes out of ignorance, sometimes out of foolishness, sometimes out of simple rebellion. Don't want to listen to the word of God. I will do my way. Because the heart is rebelling, cannot control the heart. But actually we can, in the name of Jesus Christ. But many who are falling into this are actually agreeing to their heart. They don't understand their spirit beings. Life is given by God, Jesus Christ. In the spirit, they are awakened. The spirit is now alive in Christ. Earlier it was dead in Christ like me. And then now I have to use the spirit man, power of Christ, and use it to control my heart and mind. Because Jesus says, all our hearts are treacherously wicked. They want to take control of us. And in fact, they have control of us unless we control them. And renewed in the spirit of mind, by worshipping Jesus Christ and looking at the word of Jesus Christ, willing to obey His commandments, willing to keep His commandments, and renewing this in the spirit of our mind by having a new thought that is taught in Christ, how Christ wants us to be. And then commanding our heart, because our heart, who can know it, Jesus said, God knows it and the devil also knows, because He's putting thoughts into you. Now, the other thing that we completed yesterday was humility. Apostle Paul, can you imagine, it's Apostle Paul, you know how many books has been written in that in the Bible by him? In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12:7, he says, even though I've received such wonderful revelation from God, so to keep me from becoming proud. When Apostle Paul admits and acknowledges, so that to keep me from becoming proud. He knows he'll become proud. There are people I minister to, highly proud, so proud, heart is so full of pride, so mind is so full of themselves, stubborn, and the heart is completely rebelling against God. But no, I'm not proud. I'm not proud. It's better to admit that you don't know. Who can know it? I don't know, Lord Jesus. That is humbleness. If Apostle Paul says he can become proud, you better understand you and I can easily become proud, and we better change. We want to acknowledge that we can become proud, our heart become proud, our mind become proud, puffed up. God says, our mind will become puffed up with knowledge, with some knowledge, which is not even complete knowledge. And my mind was fully puffed up with my knowledge before I came to the Lord, before Jesus Christ arrested me for my own sake. Otherwise I would have destroyed myself completely. I was given a thorn in my flesh, Apostle Paul says, as a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. So God allows these kind of troubles to keep us from becoming proud. So if you are having some trouble, better understand this. God loves you to stop us from destroying ourselves with this pride. He gives us some tissues. But He does not put disease on us. Understand that. Eh? Diseases are caused by our own doing, our own lifestyles, our own opening, and what the world is doing, what Satan is doing here. Because Jesus took all sickness on the cross, all diseases. And we go to Him, the disease will go. But again, depending on the what you believe, without doubt. But if you only believe God for something and not believe in God for the actual salvation, for the suffering He was before cross, in the cross, during the cross, after the cross, going to hell and coming out, if you don't only believe that He suffered like that for you, you can't get the tap turned down for the grace to come and fall on you. To reach God, you have to humble yourself and Lord, and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. And when you begin to worship in spirit and in truth, that look at yourself in truth, then the conduit opens, the pipe opens and grace flows into your soul. But many are not going in spirit and in truth. They're keeping their hidden sins, they're keeping their unforgiveness. Do I remember when Jesus Christ was talking about, suddenly He said, when you stand praying, forgive. When He cursed the fig tree. The next couple of verses is, when you stand praying, forgive. He cursed, He's talking about the curse of the tree, and then He's talking about from the root, and then He said, when you, and you believe, He said, you can move mountains in, and then He says immediately after that, when you stand praying, forgive. That means this unforgiveness issue is a big issue. You do not forgive, Father God will not forgive you. You can call yourself, I can call myself Christian, Christian, Christian. If I do not forgive, Father God will not forgive us. We are not Christians. We will keep on being hammered by Satan because he knows you are not forgiven. A spirit of unforgiveness has caught you. Now you begin to be willing to forgive. That's all, no? Willing only. When you're willing to forgive, God, Lord, I'm willing to forgive in the name of Jesus Christ. Make me forgive. Make me forgive. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command my heart and mind to forgive all and to love all and to go and ask forgiveness from others. Because I want to plead the husband of my soul, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's what you want to do. Now when you want to do that, power comes and you are doing. I want to ask forgiveness, initially be difficult, but you go. Now brothers and sisters, we have all saw segments on this before. And some say after that, and they heard people saying, they hear me teach these words, they were frightened. That means the word of God is convicting you, not me. I am just quoting the word of God only. The word of God convicting you, that means that Jesus Christ who loves you, who is the husband of your soul, telling you, child, son, daughter, please, this thing has to be cleared. If you don't clear this, you are not presenting your soul as chaste virgin unto Christ. There must be no unforgiveness in us. If you are a Christian, unforgiveness comes, you release it again to the cross. And you trust Christ to settle you. Because unforgiveness, people may be doing things and you may be losing money or whatever, but you trust Jesus Christ to provide for you. Not from the very issue you are dealing with. Let's say somebody cheated you of, say, $2,000. And then, I cannot, what's going on. Look, they cheated you, if you keep on banging on that, your health is going to go. Why? Unforgiveness will begin to give bad health straight away. It starts, there are so many segments on that. Unforgiveness, bitterness will cause you arthritis, heart problem, all kinds of things. So you better go to Christ and take out the unforgiveness and then receive the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And in that love you release all, forgive all, you love all. And then you're able to, because in the name of Jesus Christ you're commanding and all that. And while you're doing this, what happens? The $2,000 that you lost will after a while make no big difference, no difference even. Because Jesus will continue providing for you. But we are banking on the 2,000. Then that's all your mind is focusing on. The other benefits, the other money that are supposed to come to you, the other prosperity or wealth supposed to God want to give you, cannot come. Because entire heart and mind is focused on the miserable 2,000 you lost. Hey, it happened to me. I'm telling you. I'm focusing on only the cases, yeah, millions of dollars. But what my health was going, family was disruption, all kinds of things. So praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise brothers and sisters, praise Jesus Christ and begin to listen to what I'm telling you from the Bible. Now, another issue today we are dealing with God's discipline. God disciplines His own children. Hebrews 12, 5 to 11 is a long scripture I'm reading here. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father, addresses son? Now, Hebrews 12, 5 to 11 saying, have you forgotten this word of encouragement? It's going to correct us, you know. And Hebrews 12, Father God, the word of God telling you, have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. I'm taking from Easy English somewhere. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. And this one, Hebrews 12, 5 says, have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement? Therefore people say, if you rebuke me and correct me, I'm not encouraged. Hey, brother, sister, listen. This is what Jesus Christ is telling you from the word of God. When he rebukes you and corrects you and disciplines you and chastens everyone, he accepts his son, that is the word of encouragement. What a wonderful thing. I learned this very early in life in my walk with the Lord. I was willing for all rebuke, all correction. Lord Jesus, just make me do your will. Make me do what you want me to do. Do not, I surrender my likes and dislikes and all that. I surrender. You just move me, Lord. I want to be the kind of soul you want me to be. I want to be your child, Lord. I want to be your son. I want to be. Make me, Lord. However painful, I don't care. However painful to my flesh and my heart, and I don't care, Lord Jesus. Make me just obey. Push me through the fire of correction, Lord. That's how we started. Early day. Complete surrender. Complete acceptance. Because I know he only has good things for me. He gave me life. He gave me able to breathe. Every breath I take is because it was Jesus Christ who came and gave me the breath. And this is why if those who take it like this, they will love. Otherwise, I feel discouraged, you know, you correct me like this. That is not that. God said, have you forgotten this word of encouragement? Endure hardship as discipline, he says. God is treating you as children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then if you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, he says, then you are not legitimate. In fact, some versions will say you are bastards. The word bastard is used, you know. If you are not disciplined by Jesus Christ, the word of God, then you are bastard, he says. Not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all have human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. Now, I do not know about this modern direction that Paul is saying here, that there are some people when the fathers discipline them, they are not respecting them for that. But eventually, the teachers who corrected us when we are young, later we remember them that they actually put us on the right track, isn't it? Same like parents. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits that live? That's what the Bible is asking. How much? Question mark. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? Now, brothers and sisters, no discipline seems pleasant at the time but painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. This is the Bible saying, the word of God saying, and it's true. No discipline seems pleasant at the time but it's painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace, and those who have been trained by it. It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Those who refuse to be trained by it will only produce destruction. That I'm adding. That is what it means. But the Bible says, later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Proverbs 3:11, my child, do not reject the Lord's discipline and don't get angry when he corrects you. The Lord corrects those who he loves, just as parents correct the child they delight in. Happy is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gets understanding. The next verse I'm going for is, there are areas why Jesus Christ allows trials is, so you can become more dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we become self-dependent again, independent. That's what I was. complete destruction. Independence will only bring destruction, because independence means you are really not independent, because the devil takes control of you, because he is the ruler of the world. So people think, I am independent. I don't have to bother about God, I don't have to bother about devil, nothing. I am, you know, can. No, the devil doesn't take your permission. He just enters and whacks you step by step in deception, in delusion. He makes sure that you don't even know he exists, but all your life soon enough, later becoming trouble and trouble and trouble. Now, but those, in God, God says, do not be independent, do not be self-dependent, become God-dependent. The command for us is to become God-dependent, become God-sufficient, become God-needing. I need you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus sufficiency. So my grace, 2 Corinthians 12:9 to 10 says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness. This is Apostle Paul talking. So that the power of Christ can work through me. Some amplified to say, the power of Christ will engulf me or enfold me and completely take over and perform through me or whatever. I'm adding those things. Now, one of these days, I hope to put that amplified version, or you can check yourself. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So the more weak we actually expect and we want to be, then the more power comes. Power of Christ works through us. Brothers and sisters, time running out. So now remember, we are become more dependent on Christ, so some trials come. So today, in Jesus Christ's name, review this, listen again and again, go to the scriptures and go read your own scriptures, meditate on it and get the power of Christ and use the power of Christ. But it can only work when we are allowing ourselves to be weak and knowing we are weak. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.